Blog Talk Radio.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning.
Hello and welcome to another edition of HIAC Talk Radio After Midnight. It is, of course, I am the Dean of Credibility, Double D, and you can find me at Folsom County. And my co-host, he's not really a co-host, he's my compadre, he's my broadcast partner, if you will. It is MLJ. How are you, sir?
Man, I am doing great. That intro song makes me feel like I should have a glass of scotch. Like, I just feel really good about that intro song. I'm in the mood.
We're a little more refined here after midnight than we should be, I think.
You know what? It's sophisticated ignorance, I like to call it.
I like that, Emil. Sophisticated ignorance here after midnight. Now, tonight we're going to talk about all sorts of things. We're going to talk about the future of streaming TV, and along with that goes House of Cards, the success of House of Cards, and how that translates into perhaps Netflix becoming a major player. Your brief thoughts on that, Emil?
Man, House of Cards is like... When I first heard about it, I was immediately interested seeing Kevin Spacey portray that character. I was, like, really enthralled by it. And then when I saw it in execution, I watched the first episode, and I was immediately hooked. And I think that first night I watched, I think, the first, like, three episodes. To make a long story short, it's not really a long story, but it's not really a long story at all. But I watched the entire season in, like, I don't know, 2.5-3 days, because it was just so enthralling. And luckily it came out when I had time off work. So it's, you know, I just took that time and I was like, I'm going to watch the shit out of this show. And every single second I was just, like, captivated.
You know what it is. They're really counting on that, too. That's why they put the whole seasons out. It's binge-watching. People watch it how they want. You don't have to wait a week for another episode. If, like, after that first episode, you're immediately hooked, and you're like, I have to see the next one. And it just rolls.
Yeah, I would do that with TV shows that I bought on DVD, like, for instance, like The Wire or The Sopranos, because I don't have HBO. But those shows are, like, iconic.
Yeah.
So I would pop in, like, the first disc of season one of The Wire, and I'm like, this is the best shit ever. I couldn't imagine having to wait till next week to watch the rest of this. Like, I got spoiled by that. So Netflix enabling full seasons of original programming all at once, like they did with Orange is the New Black, Hemlock Grove, even though I didn't really get into that so much because I'm not, like, really into that genre. But
what is that about? I was wondering. I don't mean to cut you off, but
I really don't know, to be honest with you. But it seemed like it was more into, like, the... I could be totally wrong, but it seemed like it was, like, more
somewhat,
like,
horror
type stuff. And I'm not really into that.
Gosh.
I don't really. Yeah. I don't really do, like, the whole, like, American Horror Story, Walking Dead. I don't really even know if those are the same genre, if I'm coming off as ignorant, but...
Somewhat,
like,
different genres.
Somewhat, but similar. I'm just, like, not into that whole entire thing.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for Hemlock Grove, and maybe I should check it out. Maybe, if it's as enthralling as House of Cards. Now, the other thing, I initially wrote off House of Cards. Now, the reason why, you're going to laugh. Granted, it has Kevin Spacey in it, but I thought it was a series based on that film 21 that he did.
Oh.
So it totally threw me off. I didn't realize the British miniseries that it was based on. I didn't realize David Fincher was attached. I didn't realize a lot of things. But now, luckily, I just all of a sudden I said, you know what, I'm going to have to watch this. I'm going to have to watch this and see what people are talking about. It was right around the Golden Globes. I guess I started to watch it Monday, and I finished today. So you can see how quickly you can digest this, and it's really worth your time.
Oh, what, you just now watched it?
Yeah, just this past week.
Wow, what have you been doing for the past, like, 6 months? That's crazy.
Well, think about this. Think about this. It came out last February 1st, I believe it was, and all this time I thought it was a series based on 21.
Okay.
So I totally – so then Golden Globes came around. Robin Wright won the Best Actress in a Drama for a Television Series, which we'll talk about in more detail. But she wins that, and I'm like, what is this? And then I noticed that the second season is coming out on the 14th. I said, I have to check this out, see what it's all about. Thank God I did, because Frank Underwood is already an iconic character in television history. But that's what we call the tease.
Absolutely. And the thing that's awesome, like Netflix is a really, really good girlfriend because she's giving me House of Cards season 2 on Valentine's Day. Like,
yes.
I feel so good about my relationship with Netflix. I call her my girlfriend because hashtag forever alone, but whatever.
the terrible thing is she may be a jilted lover once WWE Network comes around, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, too, how streaming just the future of streaming television as a whole, because of the network, I think a lot of other people are going to take note of how well the network does or doesn't do.
And with MLB TV being, I guess, the infrastructure from MLB TV being behind the WWE network, I really only see positive things in the future for the WWE network. I mean, they've taken a lot of time in developing and creating how this is going to work. I mean, I remember hearing about the rumored WWE network, four and a half years ago, maybe even longer. So they've taken a lot of time to figure out what can work. So I think it's going to be a success. I certainly hope it is. And if it is, now I'm kind of putting a lot of faith into this one thing, but if this works out, and with Netflix, and with Hulu, and with Amazon Prime, and I'm name-dropping all these things so we can get funding from all of them.
Yes,
hopefully.
Redbox,
all the above, HBO Go, any other one that I'm missing. Like, that is the future of television.
I really do think that. I think you can pretty much at this point, if you wanted to get away from cable, and Dan Colachico from the Wednesday Night program, he did this, and the only thing he has now is an Xbox with the several different apps and computer-based streaming services. So it can be done. He cut the cord.
Oh, yeah, you can absolutely do that, and it costs much less than actual cable.
It does, but unfortunately for me, at this point, I still have to – I don't have to, but I need the for sports, for UFC and things like that, I need Fox Sports 1 and things. That doesn't stream anywhere.
Right.
So, I mean, there are sites, but that's just not – that's not ethically sound, Emil.
If there's a will, there's a way.
It's not ethically sound.
Not that I support piracy, but – I mean, my DVD collection would prove otherwise.
Indeed. We're wrestling fans. Come on, let's face it. That's how we see half the stuff from around the world. But another thing I wanted to talk about very briefly, I didn't want to get into a whole political thing here. That's not the idea of the show. But I have a problem with Congress taking a recess, a week-long recess, and they have come to no agreement on the unemployment extension.
Wait, are you telling me that government in the modern era isn't doing something?
You know what it is.
Is that what you're trying to tell me? Because I don't believe it. Man, I'll tell you what. The people that we vote into office don't do shit. That's what it seems like. And it's so irritating. But let me step off that soapbox and allow you to.
Well, we'll get back into that. I'm sure that's going to be interesting. Because off air, we had a bit of a discussion. I think we're on different sides of the landscape here. I'm not sure.
And, you know, it might be because of, I don't know, like our different circumstances that we are, and I would imagine that if I were in your shoes, I might feel like being on your side of the fence, maybe?
Well, I think it just helps the economy. But we'll get into that.
Right.
We'll get into that. That's another tease. Did you see that?
We're telling a story here, brother.
That's what we do. And speaking of telling stories, I think we'll start. We're also going to talk about Russell Johnson. He, of course, was the professor from Gilligan's Island that sadly passed away this week. Of course, Mae Young did as well. We can talk about Mae Young as well.
Oh, Mae Young had the best false finish in the history of the business.
Kicked out at 2, Emil.
2.99, man. And Mae Young, strongest woman ever, I think. Maybe like her and then like Molly Pitcher. I don't know.
8 decades in the wrestling business, active nearly until the end. An amazing career. Russell Johnson, unfortunately, it seemed he got typecast as the professor, but a very interesting story with there. He was a character actor for years in a lot of smaller roles in Hollywood, and then was cast as a professor, and the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it. Like, he is the professor.
For better or for worse. But there was something else I was going to go to. Why don't we just start out there with Russell Johnson? Of course, now this interview that I have, that I picked out, was him talking about how the critics dismissed Gilligan's Island and his thoughts of that, but this takes about 3 minutes. We'll be back on the other side, Emil.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a mighty sailing man, the skipper brave and sure. 5 passengers set sail that day for a 3-hour tour.
We're the bottom of the barrel. Couldn't get any worse than who we were. As far as a lot of people are concerned, that's still true. In terms of the people who are very serious about things. Oh, no, we were terrible. Well, yeah, you don't like to hear that. What are you going to say? People say, Jesus, you're in the worst damn show on television. Well, I mean, it's going to make you feel good. But we're working. You do the best you can. You're not trying to make a bad show, It was, but anyway. So what's happened here is now it's 2004, and that went on the air in 1964, and we're still on the air. And we're in 30-some countries around the world. And I get hundreds of emails every day from people who love the show. And it'll be on for another 40 years. And certain people will still think it's the worst thing. But most people love it. They love these characters, okay? But, oh, yes, Tom Shales, who was the television critic for the Washington Post, when the show first came out, said this, they ought to kill these people. They ought to put these, I don't know what he said, but it was just terrible. Well, about 15 or 20 years later, he rewrote the thing and said, you know what? I'm looking at this thing, and you know what? It's not too bad. There is some merit in it. He changed around. I thought that was very nice of Tom Shales. He's still there. He's still the big television critic for the Washington Post. But no, we were reviled. Oh, God. Well, I didn't get a lot of fan mail. Dawn Wells, and she got all the fan mail. I mean, she got it. Number one by far. What's happened to me is now I get all these women who come up to me and say, I had the biggest crush on you. You were my first love. I mean, I get that all the time now. I didn't get any fan mail then. I had no idea. I had no idea that people were reacting to me that way. It just never occurred to me. But now I say, what do I say now is, well, what good does it do me now, dear? Thank you.
So that was Russell Johnson, of course, the professor, talking about the legacy, if you will, of Gilligan's Island, how it was reviled by critics, and to this day still is. But, Emil, if you're like me, you grew up with these reruns in syndication, and the characters, like you said, Gilligan is an iconic character. The Skipper is an icon. All the castaways as a whole were iconic characters.
Yeah, I remember that being on TBS, the superstation, all the time when I was looking for some WCW to watch. It seemed like Gilligan's Island was on. It was either Gilligan's Island or like a John Wayne movie. Like, or WCW. That
or Eastwood.
Was,
or Eastwood. They were
yeah,
on,
yeah.
Or a Braves game.
Yeah, it was definitely a Braves game in the summer, but like, I feel like that was like the entire rotation. But Gilligan's Island was over huge with a bunch of people.
It's an iconic program. And I think a key thing he said, and this kind of ties into what we do, of course, you're a ring announcer, you're a commentator for wrestling. I commentate, I do the shows. You do the shows as well, but the characters, you have to build that character. You have to build that key factor with people. There has to be a reason, and I'm not stealing the catchphrase from On Point Wrestling, but there has to be a reason to emotionally invest in that character. A lot of people are cookie-cutter characters, especially on the indies. Further up you go, they're still cookie-cutters. What makes people stand out? It's that character. Why do people like Stone Cold? The character. Why do people like The Rock? The character. CM Punk, very much the same way. Your thoughts on that? The character that lives on.
Character is super important. Like the big, that's one of the biggest problems I have with mainstream wrestling or mainstream sports entertainment is like everything is like written out by these writers and everything like that. And I understand that, I mean, the nature of the business has changed. It's a television, it's more of a television show than it is a professional wrestling product. So it's a necessary evil. However, could you imagine dudes like writers running around and handing scripts to like Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, Roddy Piper, Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, Ultimate Warrior, and saying, oh, here's your promo for tonight. Fuck no, that wouldn't have worked.
Do you think the bigger stars are still on script? Or occasionally they get to go off script. I'm saying people like
Cena and like, Orton and all those.
Even Heyman. Heyman, in a way. Do you think Heyman goes by a script or he just gets ideas?
I think the vast majority of them are given pretty specific bullet points. Like, I heard a rumor, and I'm not sure if it's absolutely true, but I did hear it on the internet, so it has to be true.
Yes.
But, like, they scripted out a Ric Flair promo, like, a few years back or whatever, and that just boggled my mind. I was like, you're going to tell this guy what to say? Like, he's been doing this for, like, 30 years. Like, I think you can trust Ric Flair to... But then again, we saw him drunk at the WWE 2K14 press release, so...
And apparently that cost Jim Ross's job, so...
I don't know how that's Jim Ross's fault. I mean,
never got that either. I think they were looking for excuses.
Scapegoat. And always blame JR. You know?
that's the relationship they had throughout the years there. That's for sure. But Russell Johnson, your final thoughts on the Professor and his legacy. I mean, when you think of the Professor, you think of a fine comedic actor on a show that, like he said, now that interview was in 2004, he said, so this is 50 years since this originally aired. People are still talking about Gilligan's Island. He still has an impact. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, for sure. I mean, he's definitely right. I mean, like, sure, you get panned by the critics and everything like that, but, I mean, if you're over, you're over. If you make money, I mean, you're doing something right. The people liked him. He did a good job on the show. I don't know why the critics hated it. I mean, I wasn't obviously was not alive during that time, but, I mean, he made his point. Like, you know, people liked us. They might not have been the critics who got, quote-unquote, paid to tell people how television actors do at their job, but it was like everybody else who was watching that loved them. So good for the Professor, man, and RIP in peace.
That's right. So Russell Johnson... RIP. Now, another person who did pass away, we talked about it very briefly, but I have a clip of that as well. Mae Young passed away at age 90, and we'll talk more about her on the other side. This is about 3 minutes as well.
May had a respect for the business, and she wanted everybody around her respect the business the way she did. She was not afraid of anybody. And you ask her to do something, she never refused anything. She took risks. She was a fantastic performer. That's the way she was.
She'll tear a hole in you, the one you can't repair.
Oh! Oh, my God! Takedown!
But I still love her, I don't really care.
Sure I got money.
Hell, you waiting on theater?
Sit down, sit down. You get 5 cards.
When we were young, oh, we did enough. When it got cold, standing on your porch screaming out, and I won't leave until he comes downstairs.
The first thing you know, you'll want to cuddle.
To be here tonight with you fans. It's you fans that makes me bound and determined to be here on my 100th birthday to be seeing you. Thank you so much. I love you all.
There's been only one Mae Young, and there will be only one ever.
All right, so Mae Young passing away at age 90. Now, a lot of people can say maybe she shouldn't have done some of the things that she did during the Attitude Era. Of course, the Mark Henry angle, things of that nature, giving birth to a hand at age 75 or 80, whatever she was at the time. However, her legacy lives on, and it introduced her to a whole new generation of fans during the Attitude Era, that people that weren't even aware, like myself at the time, of her career during the 40s and 50s. So Mae Young, I believe she got her start, Emil, during World War II while her husband was off at the war, and it just carried on from there. Of course, best friends with Fabulous Moolah. Your thoughts on Mae Young?
Man, Mae Young was fucking awesome. Like, in a couple words, like, everything she did was pretty much great, at least in the Attitude Era to me. I mean, sure, I was scarred by seeing prosthetic old lady tits at Royal Rumble 2000, an event that almost got pay-per-view banned in my good buddy Lowercase Dan's household. But, I mean, I did run up the stairs, like, in horror, but looking back, that was kind of funny. Her especially taunting Sergeant Slaughter with her sock boob, that was hilarious. Giving birth to a hand was, I mean, I don't know. I heard that was like a rib on Jerry Briscoe, so I'm not entirely sure about that, but it seems plausible that Vince would just put something like that on TV to rib one of the Stooges.
You never know with Vince, do you?
But, I mean, perhaps my favorite Mae Young story is her bitching at Bully Ray or Bubba Dudley or whatever after he protected her on the powerbomb gimmick.
Yeah.
For protecting her on it. She didn't want him to take it easy. She's a goddamn, like, 80-year-old woman taking a powerbomb off a second rope through a table, talking about, oh, you took it easy on me.
you know, that really speaks volumes about her legacy and what she, like Pat Patterson was saying at the beginning of that piece, she respected the business and she would never say no. She took risks. She was, you know, a tough broad, as they would say back in the 40s.
Still would. I would still say she's a tough broad. Even like right now, I mean, for a lady that respects the biz as much as she did, tough broad forever. Team best babe forever, Mae Young.
My favorite Mae Young moment would be when her and Moolah had Bobby Heenan and Mean Gene Okerlund in the closet while Jonathan Coachman was searching for The Undertaker at WrestleMania 20.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite absolute Mae Young moment.
I like, they were doing, like, for her birthday celebration, there was, like, this video that the WWE put out, and it was like Triple H and Vince like presenting her with a cake or whatever the hell they were doing. And Mae Young was talking about how she wants to wrestle when she's 100. And they're like, who do you want to wrestle? And she was like, Stephanie McMahon. And I totally believed it. I would have bought a ticket for that shit. I probably would have bought three. Like, Mae Young at 100 against Stephanie McMahon. Like, what? I believed it. It works.
It does. It does. So Mae Young, unfortunately, passing away. But it's not one of those deaths that take you off guard. It's not like an Eddie Guerrero death or a Test type of death that catches you completely off guard.
Test is dead, isn't he?
Yeah, he was eating pizza and his neighbor saw him for 3 days. Same position.
Wait, hold on. He died from eating pizza?
No. He overdosed.
I was gonna say, he overdosed on pizza?
No, on drugs, my friend. But he overdosed on drugs, had a pizza in front of him, and his neighbor for 3 days noticed he was in the same position. Obviously, he passed away during this time, but his neighbor, his neighbor finally said, you know what, that's probably not
probably
a good
not
thing.
Healthy. Yeah, yeah.
Something's like, not copacetic here.
That just made me worry because I normally eat an entire pizza at one time. So
no, you're not going to overdose on pizza, my friend.
Okay.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine. But what I want to do now, as we switch gears, is talk about that WWE Network, and that goes into our next discussion about streaming TV. But here are some highlights of the WWE Network.
Today is a great day to be a WWE fan because we are announcing the launch of the WWE Network.
WWE Network is the first over-the-top network to offer the best of both worlds. 24/7 streaming service, live content, all 12 live WWE pay-per-view events, including
WrestleMania!
Anywhere, anytime, delivered directly by WWE for only $9.99 per month.
Vince is so visionary. He's bold enough to actually take the step forward, go where no other content has gone.
The WWE Network will launch with a full slate of programming where we will take you where we've never gone before. The premiere of our newest reality show, Legends House.
Legends never die. They just get better.
With the WWE Network, we now let you look back with WrestleMania Rewind.
Let DX show you how this is done. Let's get ready for WWE Countdown!
WWE Countdown puts the power squarely in our viewers' hands. Behind the scenes, Vince McMahon was embroiled in a real-life battle for the livelihood of his company as what became known as the Monday Night War.
With over 100,000 hours of digitized content, there will be groundbreaking original series, in-ring shows, live pre- and post-shows for Raw and SmackDown, and soon to come, a live daily studio show. As I mentioned, WWE Network includes all 12 live WWE pay-per-view events for only $9.99 per month.
Oh, hell yeah! I'm happy as hell to be here. It's a great time to be a part of WWE. It's a better time to be a WWE fan.
So the question on everyone's mind in the WWE universe, both here and around the world, is when? When can we all be part of the WWE Network? Right after Monday Night Raw, February 24th, 11:05 Eastern, the WWE Network goes live.
WWE Network, I'm looking forward to digging it, and that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Now, the WWE Network is something I know you are very excited about. Your thoughts on the WWE Network?
I legit couldn't be any happier for any one thing in my life. I mean, this is a thing that I've been waiting for since I was literally like 8.5 years old, when my now best friend told me a lie that he had a wrestling channel. But when I went to go over his house to watch it, he said, oh, my mom canceled it because I was watching ECW.
Oh.
So that, no, wait, you know what? It wasn't my now best friend. It was my then best friend who was told that lie by my now best friend. So basically all my best friends have been lying to me since I was 8.5 years old. But one thing that is not a lie is the fact that the WWE Network is going to keep me from procreating, because I will never go outside again because there's just so much wrestling at my disposal.
Now, you're that much of a fan where this is going to interest you that greatly, where you're going to just dive head in as if it were a Netflix binge.
Oh, yeah, pretty much. I mean, when they say, like, oh, you have all the ECW, WCW, and WWF pay-per-views from all time at launch, I'm going to be like, wait a second. I can watch Great American Bash 1989 right now and follow it up with Spring Stampede 94 right now. Like, yeah, like, I mean, I could always, like, go on Craigslist or Backpage and look for a cheap escort, but, man, that's like wrestling, like, on demand.
I feel as if you were to do the Backpage, you'd invite her over just to watch the network. That's the vibe I'm getting right now.
Yeah, for sure. I'd be like, hey, I will pay you 120 roses for a half hour of your time so we could sit here and watch Sting versus Vader from Starcade. Or no, Great American Bash 92, because that shit was awesome.
120 roses.
For a half hour of her time.
Yes.
I'm not paying for sex, I'm paying to watch Vader.
I just want you to watch this Vader match. That's
yeah.
All.
Yeah, I mean.
That's all.
That's the American dream right there. Like, that's what I will say to her while we're watching a Dusty Rhodes match.
In your line of work, but in your line of work, you have to, are you familiar with some of the women of the night?
The Cortesians? The entertainers? Yes, absolutely. I kick them out of my...
The courtesans, if you will.
Yeah, I kick them out all the time because, you know, they charge too much.
Yeah, that's always a problem in your town.
Yeah, in the great town of Atlantic City, most of them are high on horse tranquilizer anyway, so it doesn't really even matter. but getting back to the point of the WWE Network.
Now, let's talk more about the courtesans.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we can talk about that.
No, I'm sorry.
Did I ever tell you about the time I went to Vegas? That's going to be an After Midnight story for, like, the next time, because it literally takes, like, 40 minutes. It's awesome. It's a great story.
I always had I lived in Vegas for 13 months.
Ah, no shit.
Yeah, from the end of 2003 to the beginning of 2005, I lived there. Worked in television there with KLVX. It's a PBS station for Las Vegas. Not the point. The point is I live there, and it's a great town, but I always wanted to go back, and I just wanted to go back, take a flight out, touch down, and go on an amazing binge. Go gamble. Go get some buffets.
Hey, you're talking to the right person, brother.
And then?
I'll do that any day of the week.
24 hours later.
Yeah.
Get on the plane, come right back. The only wrench in those plans, Emil, is I'm not sure if they would allow you to bore as inebriated as I envision I will be.
Just got to keep drinking, brother. Just keep going. Offer some to the pilot. They'll probably take it.
There you go. That's the only snafu, as they say, in my plan now. But WWE Network, of course, UFC Fight Pass came out about 2 weeks before. Dana White today actually complimented WWE on their network idea, but said, hey, we're not going to do anything like that. We're not going to give you the pay-per-views for $9.95. We're not crazy. What do you think this means for the future of pay-per-view?
Dana White does not want to go over the top. I can't blame him. I think there's a bigger market for MMA pay-per-view than there is for wrestling pay-per-view. Because Raw every Monday night is pretty much a pay-per-view, with commercials. But, you get to top stars for 3 hours for free on USA, and most of the time you get the rematches the night after the pay-per-view. It's a different dynamic for MMA, and I don't think Dana White has to go over the top. He may want to look into having previous pay-per-views as archival footage, which...
It's pretty much up there.
Is all of it, like, pay-per-view stuff, too? Or
they have all of 2013 up at this point.
That's good.
They have all the classic stuff. Like, I watched Return to the Beast, UFC 5.
Oh, fuck yeah, Dan Severn.
The one that he won as part of... See, it's good for somebody in my position for research purposes to go back and look at these fights. I don't know if it's going to translate to the casual fan, but the biggest point, the biggest difference between these two models is UFC needs 100,000 subscribers to break even. WWE needs 1 million to break even.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
So that's the biggest difference right there. Now, eventually, what Dana White has said, he wants all the content, all those free fights you get now on Fox and Fox Sports 1 and whatever else is out there, Fox Sports 2, he wants all that to be on Fight Pass within 5 years. That's what he did say. And this is another quote from Dana White. He said, Vince is a guy who is a trailblazer, and this is coming from MMAmania.com. He says, Vince is a guy who is a trailblazer. Look at the stuff he has done. Look at the stuff Vince has done throughout his career with WWE and how he took wrestling and where he brought it. Who knows? Maybe that works for him. Doesn't make sense to me. Now you're seeing a lot of distributors are talking about dropping them now. DirecTV and others are too. So that's a quote from Dana White. And he finished it up with, good for him. I hope it works out for him, and I hope it's successful for them. He hates UFC. We don't hate WWE. Sometimes it seems like it. I wish him and WWE nothing but the best. So, there you go.
Yeah,
I think the MMA media and the wrestling media, which is really Dave Meltzer is the biggest guy that kind of crosses both brands there, would be, I think they're trying to make more out of this kind of internal feud that...
Of course, it sells controversy, and controversy, as taught to me by my uncle Eric Bischoff, does indeed create cash. Dave Meltzer's just trying to push those dirt sheets, brother. Like, him and Brian Alvarez, they have every day that they need to cover something. And of course they're going to create a story out of that. I don't blame them. I just hope it works for everybody involved, because it goes back to our original thing with Netflix. It can be the future of TV, which would just be fantastic if everything was sort of like a on-demand type thing. It would break away from the confines of cable, which would be awesome. But I don't know. We'll see.
I think the model that UFC is trying to get to at this point is to go from, like I said, the free fights, what's on Fox, the Fox brand of networks, move all that to Fight Pass, and then have all your... They're probably testing it to see how many people are interested in these international fights. Right now, they have exclusive international fights.
Okay.
The trouble with the international fights, though, are it's not the top talent. They'll tell you that they're top 10 fighters and this or that, but it's a lot of local talent. They just had one from Singapore. That was the big debut on the 5th. The trouble with that is it's just, I don't know if the casual fan, and again, I don't think they're going after the casual fan, but there's a lot of headway. But I think streaming TV, my friend, is the way to go. And that brings us to House of Cards, Netflix, and the whole amazing thing going on there. Now, Netflix, of course, decided to go with this new model of television, to give you an entire season in one sitting, 13 episodes of House of Cards and several other programs, Orange is the New Black and Hemlock Grove and things of this nature. Now, the amazing thing about this is you can digest it as you want to wait a week, don't want, you know, watch it weekly. I think that's a little crazy because it's right there for you. But I digested it this past week because there was a lot of buzz. Golden Globes, Robin Wright winning Best Actress in a Television Series. That's a first. A first that a streaming network, such as Netflix, I'm not sure if you call it a network at this point, but that a streaming service wins a Golden Globe, a major award. So Robin Wright, of course, she is Kevin Spacey's wife in the program. Now, first of all, I want to talk about House of Cards, because House of Cards is just an amazing show. I know you love it, Emma. Let's talk a little bit about House of Cards. Now, how were you introduced to it, and why did it stick?
Let's see. I think I saw a preview for it online or something like that, or somebody mentioned it on some kind of forum I went to. I forget exactly how I first got into House of Cards, but like I said, like the first episode, I was like, whoa, this is the greatest shit ever, because Kevin Spacey is like a genius, especially at capturing the character of Frank Underwood and being able to portray it. I like the subtle, it's not subtle, I apologize, wrong word. I like the fact that he openly like breaks the fourth wall and engages the viewer. And it sort of opens up another dynamic to his character where you can see like you can actually understand the inner workings of his character as well as the outer working of his character that he portrays to everybody else within the show. I think that's a really cool part. And then like the way that he's like kind of so masterful in his execution, like the part where he, what's that fucking guy's name that he tried to get to commit suicide?
Russo.
Russo, yeah. Yeah, how could I forget, being such a Jim Cornette fan, that he wanted somebody named Russo to commit
yeah,
suicide.
Right.
But with that whole speech and then putting the razor blade on the edge of the tub and just walking out, I'm like, whoa, that's badass. The time that he was muff diving that girl... That was awesome. And
I'm
then
surprised
when
he didn't turn to the camera then.
I know. That would have been awesome. If
you see
like,
what I'm doing here, making her feel that she is in control, but I'm the one who is actually in control here. I am Frank Underwood. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
and if he would like make a sly mention of how it tastes like sweet pecan pie from back home, that would have been amazing.
This
like,
is the best peach pie I have had in years.
Fuck yeah. I'm all in for that. And then when he ultimately killed the dude, Russo, with the car and the,
amazing.
And the exhaust. Yeah,
amazing.
So good.
Amazing.
So
this,
good.
This entire... He was slighted. He wanted to be Secretary of State. He was slighted. He puts into plans these motions, bringing other people to power, destroying other people. It ends up murder... In a way.
Yeah.
I mean, he just started a car, so but it is murder.
Yeah, he killed the fucker.
And all to bring along his own rise to power, as he was eyed his, he looked in, saw that he could step into vice presidency, and apparently that's where the second season starts out,
yeah.
With him taking oath. And Emil, this series is just so good, and we were saying off air before we came on that it's amazing that Netflix, this could have been the biggest dud in history with everybody that's attached to it. Of course, David Fincher, who is known for Seven, he's known for Zodiac, a lot of different films, coming over to Netflix of all places. This is $100 million series for the 26 episodes that are in the can at this point. Cost Netflix $100 million.
And you know what? Like, it's one of those shows that would not be out of place on like AMC.
Or
at all.
Or HBO or any of the other networks. It certainly it looks like an HBO show or an AMC.
Oh, absolutely.
High quality programming. Now, of course, Robin Wright Penn, that's huge. That's a huge win for this series, for this show. And, of course, if it wasn't the last season of Breaking Bad, possibly we could have had a Golden Globe go to the series as Best Drama and to Kevin Spacey for Best. I mean, he'll probably win this season. I can't see him not.
something good has to come out, you know, something else good.
Now, of course, before our next episode, it's coming out on Valentine's Day. I think the day that we actually go to air all those episodes, so maybe we can talk a little bit about the second season. Maybe we'll give a review of the first episode of the second season, but here is just a little taste. Here's a little taste of what House of Cards Season 2 is bringing you next season.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I'm about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God. One heartbeat away from the presidency, not a single vote cast in my name. Democracy is so overrated. Let's start this new chapter with a clean slate.
I know you'll do whatever you think is best.
We think congressional leadership took part.
The vice president just assumed office. I can't have this conspiracy stuff going mainstream.
The connections are troubling, especially Underwood.
So this goes all the way to the White House?
It might.
I need you to delete all of our phone history.
You want me to just walk away? Act as if I don't know anything?
Tusk is in town. He's meeting with the president in 49 minutes.
He's convincing the president to change his mind.
You would be making a disastrous mistake.
I feel like I'm losing control of my own goddamn administration.
Hit him again, and hit him now.
He's a dangerous man.
I want him obliterated.
More than that, let's make him suffer.
I don't know whether to be proud or terrified.
Some people think that your marriage may be a bit more calculated than you let on.
We have to strike back hard and fast.
They'd have stepped on the wrong motherfucking rattlesnake.
I told you to stop back channeling.
I can turn this around, sir.
I think he's setting her up.
I know how to handle him.
You trying to send a message?
Perhaps. Which is that stubbornness is far more costly than obedience.
I'm looking for Rachel Posner.
You let me know if anyone contacts you.
Agent Green, FBI.
You cannot run away from this.
He's got power, he's got a lot to lose, and he is winning.
I need to know that I wasn't a part of someone's...
Finish your thought.
Part of someone's murder.
I won't submit myself to this sort of exposure again.
Hello?
Am I really the sort of enemy you want to make? Can you blame me if I find it difficult to trust you right now?
You are out of line, Frank. There is but one rule. Hunt or be hunted. Welcome back.
Hunt or Be Hunted, Season 2 of House of Cards, coming up on the 14th. Emil, I can't wait, because everything that happened in Season 1 was just laying the foundation. We saw what Frank Underwood would do to get to power, and now what is he going to do to hold on to that power?
Man, it's going to be a great story to watch progress. I mean, he went to all that trouble, I mean, with the even like killing people and stuff, just to get to where he needed to be, to get where he wanted to be. And I mean, where it goes from here is anybody's guess.
Let's talk a little bit more about Spacey and just how amazing he is in every scene. Every scene is captivating that he is in.
No, he's a master. I mean, we were talking about it earlier. Like, he's a guy that, like, could be in a movie about, like, God, and he could play God. And, like, I wouldn't be mad. Like, okay, Kevin Spacey's God. Okay, cool. Like, I dig it.
Indeed.
And you know what? I would want him to use his Frank Underwood voice, too, the whole time, if he is portraying God.
Yes!
That would be so amazing if God was a Southern man.
And not only that, but just the little things that go into the character, like tapping the ring onto the desk and going to Freddy's for his ribs.
Oh, that show made me want to seek out a rib shack.
Yes.
Around my community. I just found one. It's awesome.
Go there in one of your suits from CZW and... just go there and, you know, maybe he'll open up early for you. You can read the morning paper.
I'm going to shill for Smokey's World in Egg Harbor Township. That place is awesome. Just had a jerk chicken sandwich from there tonight. It was great. So if you're in the area, go to Smokey's World.
Hey, wait until we actually have money on the table, Emil.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell him what I said, and maybe I'll get a free sandwich.
I'll make a clip. If you're in the mood for Smokey's. What is it? Smokey's what?
Smokey's World.
Smokey's World.
Yeah, barbecue and soul food.
Is there actually a Smokey behind the counter that serves you?
That tells me that only I can prevent forest fires? Unfortunately not.
Damn it.
But they have very nice people that make food and give it to you and take your money for it.
Is it as dirty and as dingy as Freddy's?
No. It's, kind of new. So, I mean, it'll get there eventually, I'm sure, because quality places get that way.
You have to find some dirty – you have to find a place on Pacific Avenue in Atlantic City that
– Well, let me tell you what, brother. If I'm on Pacific Avenue in Atlantic City, I'm picking up more than ribs, brother.
You're picking up some syphilis, too.
But... picking up some syphilis and laying down 120 roses.
Back to the roses.
You got to say in roses, man.
I swallowed my cigarette the wrong way. Now – No, but you've got to find a place on Pacific Avenue that is sharing one side of the establishment with one of those 24/7 adult video places.
Oh, ew.
Or at Cash for Gold.
Yeah,
one or the other.
Gold's better because, if they share, the same, kitchen area, you might get some weird shit in your sauce.
Hey, tasty.
Yeah, okay.
Now, we kind of went off on a tangent there about Pacific Avenue in Atlantic City. Try to stay away from there if you're a tourist.
Go there. No, go there.
It's no.
Great. You can get, get Coke all at the same time. Awesome.
You really have to try to fit in there. If you're going there in a business suit, you're a mark. And not a wrestling mark, but you are marked for something.
Who are you calling a mark, brother?
But you are marked for something. I'll tell you that much. There are so many people there. It's a very carny type of atmosphere, a very carnival type of atmosphere, where there are so many con people just on those 10 blocks.
I went out to the casino today, and I got approached for marijuana no less than 3 times, solicited to sell. They wanted to sell me their herbal medicinal things, and I'm like, hey, I'm all good, man.
Were you dressed in your best?
Just a hoodie and jeans and a hat.
Oh, okay, I can see it that way. If you were dressed in your business attire, I thought they would kind of stay away. But
they might have offered me the cocaína.
Oh, true.
The yayo, a little bit of yayo.
Now let's move on to streaming television. Do you think that this is a thing that's going to catch on, Emil?
Oh hell yeah, I think so. Because I mean, we were talking about it off the air. People want to just. People in 2014 just want to sit there and watch as much of one thing as they can, binge watch. And, I do it all the goddamn time. So, I mean, why not? It's good.
Do you think that it hinges on the success of the WWE Network? Now, you might say that television insiders don't look at WWE, but they really do, because WWE... with the advent of WrestleMania, of course, and closed-circuit television, the following – well, it wasn't until – yeah, WrestleMania 2 was actually pay-per-view, but they tried a pay-per-view out that November.
Wrestling Classic. They gave away a Rolls Royce.
Yes, to a lucky fan. To a lucky fan. And that was shown in its entirety on Classics. But that was their first pay-per-view. They tried the waters with that. I guess it did good numbers. WrestleMania 2 became the first WrestleMania on pay-per-view.
Yes.
And with that success, they revolutionized the pay-per-view industry. Now they're revolutionizing how they're going to put out their own content. Do you think that I already know that this is going to – people are looking to see how well this does.
And people are always looking at WWE. I mean, Monday Night Raw is the longest-running weekly episodic television series. Thank you, Michael Cole, for embedding that in my mind.
What's the second?
MASH, I think.
It's actually SmackDown.
Oh, well, fuck me. Okay.
Yeah, then MASH. Or, no, Bonanza, I believe.
Gunsmoke is in there, too, I bet.
Gunsmoke, Saturday Night Live, there's a bunch, but 1 and 2,
yeah.
I believe, are Raw and SmackDown at this point.
Well, I mean, they own TV then. I mean,
I think with total episodes, not maybe seasons, but with total episodes.
Yeah. Longest running weekly episodic.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a lot of caveats to that claim, but whatever.
But it just rolls off his tongue. People that say Cole is a bad commentator piss me off. And I'm going to go off on this tangent right now because Cole is probably the best at what WWE once done right now.
Hell yeah. He's sitting there tweeting and commentating in WWE language, which is not American English or the Queen's English. It's almost like a completely different language made up of the same words, just in a different order. And he's doing it all effortlessly, and he's getting stuff over, and he's joking around with John Bradshaw Layfield there. But when they start doing the, like, laugh track shit, like the giggle with Lawler, like, that's
yeah.
That's horrible. But that's probably what Vince likes. So whatever, it's probably going to stay. He's probably in their earpiece. I laugh now, damn it.
I don't know. I think JBL goes off script a little bit, but it cracks up McMahon, so maybe that's why.
Oh, anytime he talks about Carlos Colon owing him money, I pop, because like it's a shoot. Like, so keep putting it over, brother.
But Cole, I think, is one of the best out there, especially under the constraints that he has to work in. It's not like what you and I do per se with if we work an indie show.
Oh, are we segueing to On Point? Is that what we're doing here?
In a way.
All right.
But I'm talking in broader terms right now. When you and I, if we're booked separately or together, whatever, there's a lot of leeway that we're given. We're given very basic, I guess, outlines.
Bullet points. We're lucky if we get bullet points. Let's put that
But a lot of it, I think, they have trust in our knowledge of the product.
That's where they're making their first mistake. Because
well,
give me a live mic. Jesus.
See, for me, though, it's a little bit – because I do the podcast, I interview a lot of the guys, so all these stories are kind of fresh on a weekly episodic basis. They're all fresh.
The longest-running weekly episodic podcast on the Hell in a Cell radio network.
That's right. We are.
But, no, we're not. This is only our fourth show.
Oh, I meant the Wednesday night program.
Ah, good.
But along with that, I think it's one of these things where when you're on the indie level, you don't realize how much more difficult it comes up the chain. Like Ring of Honor has what they want to get over. There's not even a bullet point for us to talk about the next show or where this is leading, that sort of thing, because a lot of times we're not given that information.
Yeah, no.
So, like, just for example, On Point, you have Kingston against Tremont. Where does that lead? I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know where that's leading. I'll probably have an idea by the next show, but at this point, I don't know. It's one of those things where I would like a little bit more foreshadowing, and I'm not, like, ripping on anybody, but I'd like a little more foreshadowing, a little more foresight to know where these things are going, so you can kind of foreshadow in your storytelling.
The storytelling dynamic, exactly. You want to know where the characters are going before anybody else does, so you can pave the way for those characters in order to come in and do what they do, and for the people buying the thing, and it's a guideline, and you know that's how that thing works. But we're not privy to some of that information sometimes because the people in charge aren't exactly privy to that information.
And things change too on the indie level. This isn't people that are under contract. These are people that might the week before say, "Sorry, I can't make it,"
or not even say that a week before and just not show up. That's ever happened at On Point or most places that I've worked at, but I have seen it. Force One in the beginning, of course. But
let's not talk about Force One. It was not the week to talk about Force One.
Oh, it was the week to talk about Force One, man. Like, that shit was crazy. It was on Reddit. But we can talk about that another time.
Maybe when it cools down a little. I think right now it's simmering.
Festering
in the pot. Let's just leave it lay, my friend.
Yes.
Leave it lay.
But, I mean, touching on Point a little bit, I mean, I don't know how much you know about some of these guys coming in, but my brother from Team Best Dude, at Team Best Dude on Twitter. Reed Bentley, he's going to be coming down to Sewell, making his debut. I'm excited for it. It's going to be awesome. Finally, it'll actually be my first time meeting my TBD brother, Reed Bentley, in person, but it's going to be awesome.
I have heard about Reed Bentley. I certainly have. So I'm looking forward to that. And I believe right now, Emil, we do have a caller.
Oh, gosh.
And I believe it's one of your Team Best Dudes. So I'm going to put him on. Hello, caller. State your name and where you're calling from.
Yeah, this is the fake CZW announcer.
Okay, this is not part of Team Best Dude, but this is fake CZW announcer. How are you tonight, sir? You're making another return to the cell. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for taking my call. I had to call my fellow brother and as the real announcer, Emil, on the line. And
the best white one. The best white one that they have.
Yes. So
I did.
Emil, thanks for taking my call along with the whole program here. Just wanted to get your take on the CZW fans and some of the unique outbursts that have occurred recently, if you know what I mean.
Oh my!
Some of the outbursts. Oh man, they're great. First of all, the CZW fans. I was one before I, hopped the fence. I know exactly hopped the fence as if I'm doing this, against the rules. before I became a part of, before I was in the biz, I was out there in South Philly, in the crowd, saying as much outrageous shit as you guys are now. So I know how it is. I love it. There's nothing really more I can say. As long as they're into the show and they're reacting, I don't care. I don't care what the fuck you guys say to me. It's great. I love the interaction. I'm sure you've seen, I go back and forth with some of these guys, and I think it's great. I've been called an indirect murderer at one time, but there's a story behind that. It's a good story. However, they just call me a whole bunch of shit, and I love it.
Now, just for clarification, I think what fake CZW announcer is saying is there happens to be one in particular fan that has been causing trouble. Can I get your clarification on that fake announcer?
I appreciate you mentioning that, and yes, there is one fan in particular that pops to the forefront.
Oh, you're talking about fucking Clark?
That is accurate.
Who, Emil?
Clark?
Yes.
Alex Reynolds' best friend?
Yes, him. I know him by his gimmick name, if you will, in parentheses, but quotations.
Man, he doesn't get a gimmick name. Go by a shooter. He's fucking Clark. Clark is out of control. I remember one time, it's before the show, and the fans are coming in. I'm sitting at the table where the sound guy does his shit, where Zach does his stuff, and Clark comes up to me, and he's all outrageous on whatever he does. I guess 18 Red Bulls a day, whatever it is that makes him tick. And he's he starts talking to me. I said, "Hey, did anybody tell you?" And he's like, "No, what? You think you're so cool?" And I was like, "Wait, no. Before you say that, I said, did you hear that Alex Reynolds will not be able to make it tonight?" Alex Reynolds looking everything. And his face dropped, literally dropped. And I was like, "Yeah, man, he called up DJ earlier and he said he couldn't make it, blah, 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 blah." He looked like he wanted to cry. And then I couldn't be that mean spirited anymore. I said, "Nah, brother, I'm just kidding. You think you're so cool. You fell for it." And then we shared a laugh. But Clark's insane, man. I don't know where he gets that energy. He sweats profusely all the time, too.
Yes.
Yes. Man, you know what?
Yes.
You know what, though? He loves it. Go ahead, Clark. Do what you do.
Do you have a follow-up?
Great.
Oh, you're
great.
Good?
Great. No, Emil, I just have one more question for you, and I'll let go, so let you answer. One of my personal favorite wrestlers over time, and I know Jake Black's hat feels the same way, is that Ryan McBride is an exceptional wrestler, and we're a little disappointed that he hasn't been around for some time. There's a lot behind that. I don't know if you're in the position to expand, but we'd like to see him back in the combat zone. So,
I mean, I don't really have any room to expand on that. Like, when that all happened, I was away from the business. Before I left CCW, he was there as part of Irish Drive-By. And when I came back, he wasn't there anymore. I honestly don't know what went down. I can't really expand on that anymore, unfortunately for you. So I can't really give you the answer you were looking for. I'm sorry.
No worries. No worries at all. Hey, listen, Emil, thanks for taking the call. Yeah, love the show. Looking forward to listening to Sick Nick Mondo on Wednesday night.
That's right. Nick Mondo will be here on Wednesday night. And if you want to follow Fake CZW Announcer, you can do so at Fake CZW Announce on Twitter. Follow him. He has some interesting perspectives on things. And thanks again for calling. Thanks for checking us
Thank
out.
You.
I appreciate it. All right. You have a good night, sir. Okay, so that was Fake CZW Announcer, Emil.
Hashtag food and beverage. Got to put that over, too.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, he does. So
oh.
If I pop him, it's all worth it.
Well, there you go. But he's checked us out now on back-to-back episodes. Of course, he called in. We had Chrissy this week on the Wednesday night program. And he asked that question, and she doesn't like Clark too much.
Oh, I know, because she
a little creepy.
He fucking berates her all the time. Like they.
I saw the video in question.
Yeah, they have heat, man. Like
it's a little scary.
Yeah, it's sort of like a swim fan kind of thing. Like it's kind of like. Ridiculous.
She said people are telling her that he's harmless, and I said, well, they said the same thing about Jeffrey Dahmer. They did. I mean, ask his neighbors to this day. Ah, he was a nice, quiet guy.
Yeah, Clark isn't quiet, though.
Well, that's true.
He's the furthest thing from quiet.
But at home, I think he's quiet. Did you see the video that he put out to apologize to Rob Feinstein?
I might have, actually.
He gave the camera an uncomfortable hug for about 25 seconds. It's disturbing, Emil.
Man,
getting into his mind.
I don't want to.
I think he really thinks that Alex is his best friend. It's some type of...
Oh, for sure.
It's some type... Why are wrestling fans like this?
Man, they're great people. You can show your support. Come. Buy tickets.
But why?
Bring your friends.
Why are there people like Joe Hale, Captain Dave? Why are there people like Clark?
No, man, Captain Dave.
Don't get me started on Captain. You know what, Captain Dave, I've come around on in recent times. You know what? I think when I finally came full circle with Captain Dave was he gave me the old drive home gimmick. And
oh, that gimmick, yeah.
Very enlightening. Very enlightening drive.
He posts a lot of stuff from Huffington Post on Facebook. I don't know what his deal is, but, like, at some point, like, my whole, like, feed is, like, Dave, whatever his last name is, via Huffington Post. I'm like, okay.
Look, I've said this privately with on-point management, I'll say. The biggest work in this business
is
Captain Dave. No, Captain Dave.
Whack-packer Hogan, damn it.
No, it's not. Probably both. They probably live together.
Oh, no. Oh, wait, hold on. I can do a better Rob Naylor than that. Oh, no.
But I have no idea. I biggest work in the business is Captain Dave. Goes home, has his French maid give him a foot massage, and he says, I got those guys again. I got them again. They think... It's really like Gene Goodall going and, examining the chimpanzees. Maybe he's writing a master thesis on the wrestling fan.
Good God, what a reference that was.
Yes. That's what it is. That's what it is.
Nice.
That's what it, I'm huge into Jane Goodall. I love her work with the chimpanzees. There's more of the wrestling that makes me tick, my friend. But getting back to On Point, of course, this was the first On Point show that we had that we did together. And your thoughts on, well, we did do Riot Pro.
But did we really?
I don't think a tape of it exists. So in that respect, no.
And also, there were, like, at one point, like, four dudes on commentary, and it just made me want to, like, ah, like. Just.
Well, I think a three-man can work in certain. I do enjoy working with Brady. I enjoy working with Sal. I can't work with all four of you.
Yeah,
although
no.
we did kind of make that work, though, if you think about it.
Yeah, it was weird. I don't think it will ever happen again.
Probably not. Probably not.
Because I don't think Riot Pro ever happened again.
That said, I really enjoyed Riot Pro, though.
It was fun. It was a cool place.
Good locker room.
Yeah, it was nice.
Good locker room.
Yeah, I liked it.
But I'm not sure where Fredo's head is, besides the size of a watermelon.
Up his ass, probably.
Probably.
Fredo. Fearless Fredo Majors. You know, that dude came down for my birthday. That was awesome of him. Good work.
Fredo? Well,
yeah,
He probably thought there were free drinks.
Well, I don't know. You know what? Just for that, he's a good dude. No matter if
you wanted to come, but you did it on a Wednesday.
Well, that's when I was born, 27 years ago.
Well, you should have postponed it a day. Now, On Point Wrestling, it was the first time we got to work together. What'd you think of the dynamic? I think that this DVD is going to impress some people.
I think it is too. I think it was a good show. Lots and lots of matches. Like they had like 10 matches, which is a lot.
It is.
But yeah, I mean, they were good. I mean, the On Point product is a really good product. It puts a spotlight on a lot of guys that don't typically get it, especially in this area, especially with a show coming up with Danny Cannon, with Josh Crane, my team best dude, brother Reed Bentley coming up. Like, that's going to be a good time. I like what it's done for guys sort of like EYFBO.
Yeah. Sam Shields is another one.
Sam Shields. We were able to see Dickinson and Biff Busick tie up, like, for the first time ever. Tremont and Kingston, first time ever. The return of Joker.
That was huge.
Yeah. Like, it's just a place where you can see, like, a whole cavalcade of guys. You know what? It's sort of like, it sort of gives me, like, a Force One kind of vibe, where you have a bunch of dudes from, like, all over the place in, like, all in one place, you know? And it puts a spotlight on guys that don't get it elsewhere, which is awesome.
Sam Shields, to me, is one of the biggest stories that has come out of On Point, because Sam Shields, of course, he was with the Midnight Sensations for quite some time in tag team.
Yeah.
And they had success in ECWA. They had success in North Jersey and areas like that. Things happen. They're not together anymore. Sam Shields struck out on his own. And I wasn't a fan of the Midnight Sensations.
Yeah, I didn't really get it.
Before
we started talking about Sam Shields again, I would be remiss if I didn't mention my boy Oz Tyler, who is just awesome. Love Oz Tyler.
Oz is probably there's a few different stories. Of course, True Blood, Pinky, that finally ended. But there's a few stories that have been going through with On Point Wrestling. Oz Tyler's, I guess, growth and his search for respect,
absolutely,
is one of the biggest. Of course, he's taken on in singles competition Black G's, otherwise known as Sabian. He's taken on Shane Strickland, and last show he took on Amasis, people he's looked up to. So this is a learning experience for him. He's getting these opportunities, and it's because of On Point.
For sure.
It's really an amazing thing, and the opportunity for us to work together, which I really love doing.
And I'll tell you what, promoters have noticed him. Like, I've heard through the grapevine that there's a few people looking at him, so the future's looking good for one Mr. Oz Tyler.
He has the look. He has the right attitude. This young man is going to go places. And we actually have an interview with him on the 12th on the Wednesday night program.
Fantastic.
But I do have a caller. It's 802 area code, so I'm going to put them on right now. Now, caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Oh, brother.
Brother.
What's up, brother? All right, first I just want to make – I want to make calling the dog, okay? That referencing, that indirect murder, that's fucked up. I don't appreciate that. That's disrespectful. don't laugh. That's bullshit, dog. The little baby in heaven. God bless his soul. All right, dog. I'm here. I just want to talk about things, all right?
Okay, go ahead. What do you want to talk about?
All right. First thing, I want to talk about Rockin' Rebel.
Rockin' Rebel.
Yeah. Have you all heard?
Rockin' Rebel is – I've worked a few shows with this gentleman. He is an icon in this business, and I say as long as he gets that mullet back, he should be on WWE television.
Brother, you're underselling it, all right? You're underselling that shit. Well, have you heard? He is suing TNA and Dixie Carter.
Is he? What for?
Hell yeah. They have been discriminating – against his age. And I just want to be here publicly and say, Dixie, I know you're listening. Go give my man a shot.
Of course, Rockin' Rebel, he is an ECW, a TWA legend in this business.
Brother,
He's a professional wrestling legend.
Brother, he is a forefather of extreme and ultraviolence. You understand?
I do.
Okay, another thing I want to talk about.
Sure.
Is something to write home about the Get Up Kids.
Yes.
I have no knowledge of this.
What?
I don't have any knowledge of this. I'm sorry. Emil, could you fill me in on what this is?
Fill him in, brother.
It's one of the best albums, like, ever. Sometimes I just like
hold
to
on,
sit
I'm
there.
Hold on, I'm scratching my balls. Hold on.
Go ahead. Go for it. Sometimes you just got to sit there and listen to the Get Up Kids. Like, and not just, like, one song. You have to listen to the whole album. Like, it's only, it's what, like 40-some minutes?
Are you asking me or are you asking?
I'm asking
he never
Lash.
Gave us a, oh, okay. Oh, this is Adam Lash. Okay. I was communicating with him earlier. Newfound Mass.
That was your mom? That was you?
Yeah, I'm the Twitter there. Yes. How
are killing
you?
Me with that time killing dog. I was taking a dump. It was killing my vibe. I just wanted to bring that shit to your attention. I want to talk about the Rebel and just wanted people to know that Something to Write Home About is a great album. It really touches my heart and my soul. And you know, just want you all to have a good time. All right.
Okay, where can people find you, sir?
I don't want nobody to find me.
Okay, he doesn't want anybody to find him. I believe this is a hashtag Team Best Dude or at Team Best Dude. I'm not sure. No?
Never heard of them.
Never heard of them.
Y'all have a good Friday night.
He just respects the biz. That's all.
Okay, well, you have a good night, sir. Thanks for calling in. He's gone. He's out of here. We got to talk about Rockin' Rebel. We got to talk about whatever that was, the Ghetto Kids or...
The Get Up Kids, not ghetto, not ghetto.
The Ghetto Kids. I'm looking up Ghetto Kids right now. I couldn't find anything on YouTube.
Not ghetto. Get
I'm
up.
Upset.
Like, as in, like, get up, go to school. The Get Up Kids. It's a good album, man. You should check it out.
Well, your taste in music has taken a turn for the worst for me after I saw an earlier Twitter transaction that you had. Did I call Twitter a transaction?
Transaction. Man, Dean Dixon, the dean of credibility, transacting on the Twitter. The only website I make transactions on is Backpage.com.
For roses.
And you know what? That is a soundbite right there.
Roses negotiable, my friend.
Absolutely. No, because my taste in music is incredibly diverse, like ridiculously so.
But you can't say that the Beatles are overrated.
Oh, man, that's me trolling on the highest level, brother.
Okay. As long as you admit it was trolling.
Yeah, for the most part, it's trolling. Also, like, I'm not the biggest Beatles fan.
I'm not gonna yell at you and say that you're a jerk if you just don't like what they did. It's different. If you recognize what they did do in popular music, then that's fine.
Yeah. There's a recognition to that. It's just not my.
If it's not your cup of tea, I get that. It's like your Shawn Michaels argument.
Man. How good would that be, though, if there's like an article written about saying how the Beatles and Shawn Michaels are both overrated? I think like that
the internet
would
explode.
Yeah, that's like the ultimate troll right there.
And Brock Lesnar should have never left UFC.
Never.
Just throw all that together. You have an article with at least 5,000 hits in the first 24 hours. Emil, I think we had a great time. Tonight, we covered all the bases. Unemployment, I don't even feel like talking about, because much like the unemployed, I am lazy. I don't want to talk about it. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm kidding. No, I guess I will bring it up a little bit, of course. The biggest thing to me is you have to come up with something. You have to, before you take a recess, they just came back from New Year's and the holiday recess, and now they're already gone, I guess, for the Martin Luther King extravaganza that they're going to have a week off.
Yeah, what do they do for that?
Like, they argued unemployment for 3 weeks.
No. I mean, like, okay, so...
2 weeks, yeah. They were only back for 2 weeks.
I'm just thinking about the term Martin Luther King extravaganza. Like, what would that entail? Like, what is that? Oh, hey, if you follow me on Instagram, @GuapoMLJ, you can find a hilarious picture that I posted about some sort of a party taking place Martin Luther King Day weekend, and it's terribly embarrassing, like, to many cultures, but it's hilarious.
All at the same time. So where can people follow you on Instagram for that?
You can find me on all sorts of social media, Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, which I don't really even use, unfortunately, anymore. But if you did, you would find a lot of butts and wrestling stuff on there. Where to Mike E. King.
They go hand in hand.
Oh, hand in hand. So, and also Instagram, GuapoMLJ, that's GUAPOEMILJ, everywhere. Also, @TeamBestDude on the Tumblr and the Twitter. Team Best Dude, we're doing a lot of good stuff. Manoa, Lowercase Dan, Mikey King, Leonard F. Chikarson, Reed Bentley, Best Dudes, obviously, there's a team of them. There's a team of Best Babes. They're awesome, too. My man Stutzy, Statmark, all those dudes. It's a good time.
Emil, I was about to start playing the you know how during speeches at award ceremonies they start playing the music to get the person to...
Oh, yeah, and I'm going to let you finish, but my goodbye speech was the greatest of all time.
I was about to. I was like, what the hell is he doing? But anyway, I wasn't asking for all that. I just went into your Instagram. Just say GuapoMLJ next time, Emil.
But I got
That's all I wanted.
And you know what? And for respecting the biz, Adam Lash, he's out there too. So he's a good guy. We talked to him. Fake CZW announcer. Queensbridge, what?
Fake CZW announcer?
I'll put him out to you next time we're all...
Okay,
you know,
so he is somebody I would probably
know.
Yeah,
and Jake Black's hat.
Is that Jake, or is that... Who's behind that handle?
Oh, that's not Jake, brother.
Okay.
That's
someone else. We don't want to put out the secret.
Oh, no.
We got a kayfabe it, friend. Behind the curtain.
K5, brother, K5.
Now, what I did want to say is, as far as the unemployment, what bothered me most about it was they argued it for 2 weeks. They couldn't come to an agreement, and now they are recessed for another week. So it looks like it's going to go down to the wire to the President's State of the Union address, which comes up on the 28th of January.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Kind of disappointing if you're one of the 1.1 million people that were relying on these extensions. And as a Christmas gift, the government decided to cut you off on the 28th of December. So now Harry Reid, he is the Senate Majority Leader. He is going for an 11-month extension. Republicans want a 3-month extension. Democrats came back and said, okay, let's at least pass that. Unfortunately, they could not get the necessary votes. They needed 60 votes. It was defeated by a vote count of 55 to 45. And unfortunately, it did not pass the Senate, so it goes to recess, and people that are trying to – and I'm not talking about the lazy folks. I know what the stereotypes of those that are on unemployment are.
Right, right, right.
I'm talking about the people that are actively seeking work. They're trying to put gas in their car to get to different interviews. These are professionals that may have been laid off. These are people that maybe their jobs were taken away from them because of restructuring, such as what happened to me. But anyway.
Oof. that was a rough one. That was a rough one for you.
It still is. But the thing is that people, and it does help the economy. Now, granted, there is a price tag to it. Republicans are worried about adding to the deficit without proper spending cuts is what this all boils down to, because this money, I mean, it is paid for by unemployment. Employers are charged a fee with how many unemployment claims in the past, I think it is 24 months or something like that. So there's fees coming from all different sources. Of course, you as an employee pay into this fund. The employer is paying into this fund. So there is money coming in. But, of course, this just costs a lot of money because you're – not that you're supporting people, because unemployment is only 60% of what you were making gross. So at least it's a lifeline, and at least it still does put money back in the economy. So I think this is something that has to get done. It would be a precedent if it were not to go forward. And hopefully we get some type of resolution before the State of the Union address coming up on the 28th. Now, Emil, just your brief thoughts on that, because we are running out of time here.
Man, I just hope something gets fixed really soon. Like, the whole, like, infrastructure is just disastrously bad. I mean, the fact that there is so much unemployment, the fact that they can't come to a decision, the fact that our elected officials just can't seem to get anything done, like, it's just, like, everything, top to bottom, from A to the Z, as the legend, the real Iron Cheek would say, like, the whole thing, like, they're just, they're not the real, they are the jabroni.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Break their back and make them humble.
Yes, fuck their ass, you know?
Like they're the B. Brian Blair.
Yeah, you know, and then Hacksaw, the big American 2x4, come save them, and that's what we need. We need the big 2x4.
I could have broke Hulk Hogan. He's the jabroni.
Yeah.
I could have broke his leg.
Yeah, and, you know, we need to have the big American, the 2x4, to come save us, because or else we will have our backs broken and our asses fucked. And guess what?
I agree with that.
There's 90 seconds left. I'm not trying to get my b-hole penetrated.
We can always go into overtime. That's never a consideration. We probably will, Emil. So, on that note, I do want to make note of our schedule for the coming week. Obey the Puck returns on Monday night. Of course, that is our hockey podcast, News and Views. Moose Knuckle Radio makes their triumphant return after a month off. That is 8 p.m. on Tuesday. Wednesday, we will be joined by Haley Jane. She is a burlesque dancer. She's also, and this was made public, so it's not a shocker, she is also engaged to Ophidian the Cobra. She will be here to talk about the Philomoka show that's coming up on Friday the 24th. It's a strip show. It's burlesque. It's Kaju Big Battle. I don't know how that all fits in. It intrigues me and frightens me all at the same time. We are also going to have Sick Nick Mondo here next Wednesday. That's right, CZW original Sick Nick Mondo will be here for not really an exclusive interview, but we do have some time with him. Also, that's about it there. The next time that we'll be back, Emil, is the 15th of February for the next episode of After Midnight, and more on that in the coming weeks as we get closer. Emil, I'm extremely proud of tonight's show.
Me too, brother. We had fun, man.
This was, I think our most complete episode. Besides the JFK thing. The JFK thing was really good, and
yeah.
I enjoyed that, but I think this was our most complete, our best foot forward. And I look forward to just growing this network, and that's one thing we really didn't talk about. The 2014, good things coming. Very briefly, we have some good things. I have a few. I'm setting up an interview. She's the assistant property manager on House of Cards. Sharon Rocky Roggio will be making an appearance on a future episode of Moose Knuckle Radio. So that's coming up. Once the second season drops, she has agreed we'll talk about her career. She has worked in such films as The New Red Dawn. She's working on House of Cards, of course. So we're going to talk to her about that. She was her first breakthrough position was Whip It, the film that was with Juno, that girl, Ellen Page, Emil.
I mean, she's like if she's behind this stuff,
she's property master, so she's in charge of props. You know, a part of the art department.
Which, you know, the stuff in, I mean, I really only know her from House of Cards, really. But, like, the props there are just great. Like, everything looks legit.
Yeah.
You know, so, hey, if that's all her doing, she's doing a great job.
Yeah, so I can't wait for that. Probably the 25th, I'll have more information on that. Of course, the Reverend Bob Levy and I and Dan, we're gonna have a live broadcast, a video broadcast of with him. And we're going to work more closely with the Reverend Bob Levy. Big things, I believe, are happening. Of course, Moose Knuckle Entertainment, the minds behind that, of course, Donnie and Justin, they're involved in Vermillion the movie, which is going to start making some big noise. So a lot of big things are happening. A lot of things are going to start coming together, Emil.
I'm excited, man. 2014 is shaping up to be really, 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 really good.
So, Emil, where can people find you, even though you already said it?
Yes, Guapo MLJ, GUAPOEMILJ, all forms of social media, Tumblr, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Follow me on there. I'm very entertaining. I do social media really, really good. So
You do. I will give you high marks on that. I'm, of course, the Dean of Credibility, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County. You can also follow the show itself at HIC Talk Radio on Twitter and follow the Facebook, like the Facebook, rather, at Facebook.com/HIC Talk Radio. We're also right here, blogtalkradio.com/Hell in a Cell. We also have a Pinterest out there, if that's your thing. I don't
Pinterest.
Know.
Pinterest. I never really got into Pinterest.
We have an official Pinterest. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, the app, the Android-based, and I believe it's an iPhone-based app, so you can listen to the shows on the go. It's a wonderful app. I suggest you check it out, but we're there. Just search for HIAC Talk Radio. You'll find us both on iTunes and Stitcher. Leave us a review. That'd be great if you did that there. But so many different programs, so many good things coming up this year. Emil, it's a pleasure to have you aboard.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm just so pleasured. And I didn't have to pay any roses. But on that note, we'll see you on the 15th of February. I will see you personally back on Wednesday when we interview Sick Nick Mondo and Haley Jane, burlesque entertainer. But have a good time until then.
CBS presents this program in color.
Now this is the tale of our castaways. They're here for a long, long time. They'll have to make the best of things. It's an uphill climb.
The first mate and his skipper too will do their very best to make the others comfortable in the Tropic Island nest.
No phone, no light,
no motor car, not a single luxury. Like Robinson Crusoe, it's primitive as can be. So join us here each week, my friends, you're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.